Can women such as Khadija, Fatima, and Aisha be role models for women of the 21st century?
These women are role models for all Muslims, men and women, first and foremost. Khadija is an example of a woman who is an accomplished woman, an accomplished person, well-rounded, who balances life and family, career and family, and also is willing to put all of that on the line for what she believes in. That's something that all Muslims can learn from, including men. There are many men who have a highly imbalanced life, and that's something that they need to consider. Are they really balancing faith, family, career? Aisha, brilliant, brilliant woman who had a keen intellect and used that for the rest of her life after the death of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. She used her time to teach, to lead the community. She was a teacher. She was a military commander. She was someone who stood up and spoke truth to power. It is the caliphs who came to her door and asked her for advice. She corrected other Muslim men when she knew that they were wrong and that they had a misunderstanding of words of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So there are many occasions when Aisha gave the correction to other men when they had a misunderstanding of something that the Prophet Muhammad had said or done.
Could you provide us with examples of that?
Well, there's many examples. One example is when Aisha, peace be upon her, heard that one of the Sahaba had said, had narrated that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he thought that he had said that if a woman or a black dog walks in front of a man when he's praying, that his prayer is invalid. And Aisha refuted that, and she said, I used to lie down at night, and the Prophet Muhammad was praying his night prayers, and I had my legs extended in front of him, in front of his qibla. And when he would make sujood, I would pull my legs up. And then when he stood up, I would put my legs out in front of him again to prove that this was had to be an invalid report, that it was not true, because Aisha herself was in front of the Prophet Muhammad when he was praying. So there are many other occasions and examples where she corrected mistaken reports from the Prophet Muhammad. So this is an example for all Muslims, but of course, especially for Muslim women, that they should not feel shy about correcting men when they're distorting Islam or giving a mistaken understanding of Islam.
Are there notable passages from the Quran or Hadith that you feel captures the true value of women?
Well, let me just say that. Let me start again. The Quran is the word of God. God is al-hayy al-qayyum, who is living and eternal. So his words are always relevant to us. They always speak to us. And our social and political situation changes. But in the Quran and in the example of the Prophet Muhammad, we can find guidance and lessons at all time. The Quran is clear. It's filled with examples of the equality, the spiritual equality and value of men and women. But what's important to remember also, and this is where many people go wrong, is that the Quran also contains verses that address specific situations that occurred during the time of the Prophet Muhammad and his community. What that means is that it takes a great deal of scholarship and effort, insight, and guidance from God to be able to distinguish what are particular lessons, what are particular judgments, and what are universal lessons. All of the Quran has a lesson, but sometimes we have to extract the fundamental principle or the universal value from a verse. Let me give you an example. There's no such thing as dhihar anymore. I mean, no Muslim man says, you are to me as the backside of your mother, right? We know that's forbidden. The Quran forbids that. Even within the first or second century of Islam, this is not something that other than perhaps people, some tribal people in the Arabian Peninsula, no one did. So does that mean that verse has no relevance to our life other than to ban or prohibit that specific practice? I think if we considered that, then we would really be missing the point of the Quran. What do we see in that verse? We see a condemnation of a certain attitude towards your wife. That a man who would utter this formula after he's been married to a woman, she's given birth to his children, she has been patient with him through his ups and downs in life, and now suddenly he puts her in this situation. Can we not think of other situations, maybe times in our own lives, in our own society, when we see men being ungrateful to their wives, when their wives get a little bit older, suddenly feeling that they are outdated and outmoded, and forget or choose not to remember that their wives were patient with them and put up with maybe the times when they were not at their most attractive or most successful. So this is really the challenge for someone who really wants to be guided by the Quran, is to read the Quran attentively with this understanding of what is the deep message of the Quran and what does it say for our lives. If we don't do that, then we will miss some lessons and specific rulings, and we will also inappropriately apply some verses in the Quran to our lives.
Dr. Mattson, what are some of the rights, women's rights, that Islam gave to women?
Certainly the Quran doesn't present women in any way as inferior to men. However, it's very important to understand that there are men, there are Muslim men who have used the Quran to prove this point. There are many examples of Muslim men in contemporary period, as well as in classical Islamic Quran commentary, who use the Quran to prove their view or their perspective that women are inferior to men. And if we don't understand that, then we aren't going to be able to address that misuse of Islam. So, for example, there are commentators who have looked at the Quranic verse that men have a daraja above women to say, well, that proves that men are superior to women. In fact, what that verse says is that men, what that verse implies or means, is that within the family, within the household, men have a responsibility to take care of, to provide the support, the maintenance for the household. That is their obligation because God has given them an ability beyond that of women generally to be able to continue to earn. Now, this isn't true for all men and women, of course. There are women who do not marry. There are women who do not have children. So for them, they might have the same ability as men to earn an income, to save, to have, you know, in contemporary terms, a retirement plan. But factually, realistically, what we see in all countries is that generally, because many women do end up having children, is that their ability to accumulate capital is much less than men. That's why most countries have some kind of...